This is Pants in the Boot. I'm your host, Glenn Fleischman. This podcast talks about how language is a thing that doesn't mean the same thing everywhere, and sometimes it does. We have talking to people around the globe about the kinds of things we eat and drink, places we live, what we do, and in this episode, we're going to talk about sandwiches and what they mean to all of us. Joining me is Gene from Portland, Oregon, Chris from Broughty Ferry, Scotland, James Thompson in Glasgow, Eric Ensign in Edmonton, Alberta, and Sarah in Auckland, New Zealand. Hello, everybody. I think everyone's hungry at this point in the taping. What kind of sandwich is your go-to sandwich? Or do you even call it a sandwich?
I hate this argument. I am. There are a few internet / real life arguments that I am more over than the is a hot dog a sandwich? I don't care.
I wasn't even thinking about that when we were talking about this. I forgot. You know, like, is sushi a hot dog or whatever? Right.
Yeah. So
classic.
Yes, we've all heard John Siracusa debate that one.
Is a turkey a burrito?
Yeah, you know, on the Incomparable Network, you can go and listen to Robot or Not, and he will tell you whatever he says about it. I don't care.
Oh, I wasn't even, you know what's funny? I wasn't even getting into the what constitutes a sandwich. Let's start with that. Do we have a sense of the room? We can be Quakers here and say, do we have a consensus? Are we all moved to believe that a sandwich is two pieces of bread with material placed between them? Is that what we all believe?
Doesn't even have to be two pieces of bread.
It could be enclosed.
Oh, so a folded piece of bread. But bread is involved. Bread or a baguette.
Yeah.
Both sides.
But what's the line between a sandwich and a burger then? Because a burger is two pieces of bread.
A sandwich is a sandwich. I'll accept that.
Okay. I think we could produce a giant hierarchical chart of, you know, the family tree of various things. But, I mean, I don't even know necessarily two pieces of bread. I mean, as you say, you can fold it over, but
an open sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. If you take the same thing that you would have folded over, but you don't fold it over, is that a sandwich line that you have crossed?
Basically, some kind of carbohydrate substrate.
If it's a tortilla though, that's not a sandwich, then that's a wrap, and that's a carbohydrate.
I know, and this is why a lot of
restaurants have now, the section on the menu no longer says sandwich, it says handhelds, because nobody wants to deal with that argument.
That is terrible.
This is the only cultural war worth fighting.
The major thing I discovered when I was living in the States was the difference between, see, in New Zealand, we have chicken burgers and beef burgers and lamb burgers and fish burgers. But then when I moved to America and I discovered the only appropriate burger is the beef burger, whereas the rest of them were called chicken sandwiches or fish sandwiches or lamb sandwiches. But to me, they're not sandwiches, they're burgers, because they were between burger buns. And so the question became, is it a burger because it's got a patty in it, or is it a burger because it's got burger buns?
That's changed as well, because in the States and Canada, you can get, like, A&W sells a buffalo burger, which is not beef. It's buffalo, but it's still a burger in a patty. Or you can get an ostrich burger or a lamb burger. So I think that has changed. Chicken, though, no. Chicken is not a burger. I don't know why.
But lamb is.
Lamb
is
a burger.
Lamb. Yep.
A lamb burger is a thing.
If it's ground, I think ground beef that's formed into a patty is often a burger. But now we're off
ground chicken that's formed into a patty is not.
What about a halloumi burger?
Delicious.
Well, I don't know that.
That's not a burger. That's cheese.
Yeah, but it's it is sold here as a burger.
Oh my god, a burgerdom.
Yeah. Like in McDonald's, which is the obvious international standard for burgers, it's like you've got the chicken burger, which is the pressed ground patty. But then, of course, you've got the chicken burger, which is just the breast of chicken.
Right.
And they're both burgers.
Oh, weird. They're not here.
Yeah, they're sandwiches here.
So
they're sandwiches.
Before we go into the burger black hole, I mean, the one that I was going to raise.
That's a bagel, James. Sorry, go ahead.
We're not going to legislate bagels into this either.
No,
the one I was going to say was what I have done in the past, typically, a hobnob, which I was asked to describe,
What is a hobnob?
It's a sort of OT biscuit. Think of it like a sort of upmarket digestive. If you know what a digestive is.
Well, luckily I do, but.
Does it have sugar in it, James?
Some, everything has sugar in it. But if you take one of those, and you get ones with chocolate on it, which is kind of like a chocolate digestive in that same family. But if you take one of these and then you butter it and then you put cheese on it and then possibly put another one on the top, is that a sandwich?
Oh my God.
Well, then you get into the fact that we actually have something on this continent called sandwich cookies, is a style cookies. Of cookie that yeah. like an Oreo or Oreo. Any kind of yeah a cookie yeah. that's got one piece, one cookie on the top, one cookie on the bottom, and like filling or frosting in the middle. That's a sandwich cookie.
But this is at least a savory thing.
There are some restaurants that will sell you two fried chicken patties with stuff between them and call it a sandwich they will. Also.
I mean, as Chris, I am assuming, has put into our show notes, the chip butty.
The chip butty. This is the greatest invention of all time I've never had.
When I went to school, like, typically you wouldn't get your lunch in the school. You would sort of go out and forage in the local area. And
you'd go to the unmarked van full of food, as you described in a previous episode. Yep.
Well, I mean, like, we have the vans, which were, I think, a later thing, but we definitely had the chip shops, which right. were
seeing these Scottish around. Children, like, going out hunting at lunchtime.
We'd have something similar to the tuck shop.
Oh, the tuck shop, sure.
Tuck shop for us sold sweets. Sweets.
Yeah, in the UK.
Oh, okay. For us, it's sweets and savories is the tuck shop.
Interesting. Ah, but so we would go to the chip shop and you could get a variety of things which were effectively bread with potato in some form in the middle. So you would either
a carb
get...
carb bomb.
Yes, you could get a roll and chips, which would be, you know, as it sounds, a bread roll sliced with chips in it. Or you get two slices of bread, buttered probably, with chips in it. Or you get the fritters, which were the sort of high-end item, which you could get also in a roll or between bread.
It's very important to say, James, isn't it, that it's you must not try to recreate this yourself. You'll only be disappointed because it needs to be proper British chip shop chips, which are a form apart.
And we call them something, they're more like steak fries here. We've had this the fries
like
episode
steak
in a previous
fries,
series.
Glenn, but they're not steak fries. Come
they're not,
on,
no, no, no. Listen, no. listen. They're not steak fries, but they're more
they
like
don't
steak
have,
fries.
They don't have a sort of structural integrity no. that I think your steak fries have. They're more kind of like,
floppy.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, minutes away from mashed potato, really deep fried and... you couldn't build really anything out.
No, you're right, because our steak fries typically, and Erica, correct me, or Jean, I'm sorry, I don't know if you're a steak fry fan. I think Erica was on the fries.
Oh, yeah.
Episode,
oh, yeah.
That my feeling is a steak fry is, it's not hard on the outside, but it does have a structural nature to it. It's defined.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we tend to go towards the more English-style chips in New Zealand when we go out for fish and chips and buy it from a takeaway store. But the perfect ones are a combination of these little floppy, little like half-cooked ones that are still kind of fluffy and mashed potato. But the perfect fish and chips is a combination of those with the little bits that you've gotten that are like overcooked and they're all crispy. So your perfect fish and chips are a mixture of these undercooked chips with these whoppingly overcooked little bits. And having the combination of those two is perfection.
Sarah, do you have in New Zealand, can you buy chips and scraps?
Oh, I've heard of this.
I haven't heard of that as a phrase.
So I think it's a Northern English thing. I don't think I see it in Scotland, but chips and scraps is basically chips with specially fished out of the oil for you all those like redundant 12 times
so
cooked,
good.
Burnt bits of potato. Chips and scraps.
Oh, they're the best.
I want that.
It's not a thing you can buy in the US, but you know where I've seen that? Steven Universe, the animated series. Steven is always going to the fry shop and asking for those like that. Like he wants the bits and they give him the bits. But I've never seen anybody else in the US actually ask, or you currently can't buy it as a standard thing.
Again, why am I doing this before breakfast?
I know. So, you know, back to sandwiches briefly. So in America, we have this amazing thing when we were in school, which you can get in. It's often in the break room and in companies and things too. It's the refrigerated vending machine with pre-made sandwiches in it.
I mean, it's a thing you get, I think, pretty much everywhere. And
gas
there's
stations.
Also,
the gas station refrigerated
there's
sandwich.
A sort of tradition of you will get your meal deal, which will be one of these pre-made sandwiches, and then a snack of your choice and a drink of your choice for the lowest price possible. And that's what a lot of people certainly go out and subsist on from offices and things like that.
But this is about language, right? So, and I want to throw in the fact that in Scotland, at least definitely in the West Coast, a sandwich wouldn't be called a sandwich at all, it'd be called a piece. And so a jam sandwich, as I would call it, would be a jilly piece. And there is a fantastic song, please everybody Google, it's a song called You Canny Throw Your Pieces Out a 20-Story Flat. it's a belter. It's part of my natural, identity. But yeah, jilly piece. So like, but that contrast with an Aberdeen, my wife's from Aberdeen, it took me a long time to realise what she's talking about. They will use the word piece to mean just any small treat. So like a little a baked good or a pastry thing will be referred to as a fine piece. Ah, that's a fine piece. So you might have a fly cuppy and a fine piece together, which is a cup of tea and I might refer to it as a petit four, you know, these small, delicious little things. But yeah, that would be a fine piece in Aberdeen.
Although you did just tread in dangerous territory and conflated jam and jelly, which are two different
things. Yes, that's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, jelly is an entirely different thing again.
Oh, that's true.
So,
Really?
Jello. Oh, Jello. Okay. Yeah, Jello is jelly in New Zealand as well.
Wait, Jello is... All right, this is a whole other...
All right, put a pin in that.
Yeah, we've gotten to a fine jam here, so I'm so jelly of you with all your options for sandwiches. This has been Pants in the Boot. Our theme music is by Chris Breen. I want to thank Gene, Chris, James, Erica, and Sarah for being part of it. And we are on the Incomparable Network that you can find at theincomparable.com and become a member to allow us to make more fun shows like this at theincomparable.com/members and get hours more content than you can know what to listen to.
I thought we were going to talk about sandwiches.
I don't know.
That's the whole point of this episode, of this series. It's like we start talking about lorries and we end up talking about, I don't know,
cash farms.